Okay, so good morning and welcome to Green Energy's first half results presentation. I'm Rubén Gómez, Head of Investor Relations. First conference call with Green Energy, as I joined very recently, and honestly, I'm very happy to be here. The presentation is going to be led by our Executive Chairman, David Ruiz, and Daniel Lozano, our Chief of Strategy and Capital Markets Officer. They are going to take you through our business and financial review, and at the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A session for sell-side analysts. I hand over to you, David. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Rubén, and good morning, everyone. We're very glad to have Rubén on board. So welcome, Rubén, and I really hope this is the first one of many. Going to do the results presentation. I think it's been a pretty good set of we've had a very good set of results during the first half of 2024. It's jump to slide number three. I think the results have been mainly driven by the asset rotation in Peru in the first quarter of 2024. We are expecting more asset rotations at the end of the year, but in this first half, these deals in Peru were very relevant, right, in the first quarter. Our revenues amounted to €192 million. This is 15% lower than last year. But in reality, if you consider, we consider inventories that, you know, we're talking about inventories of pre-agreed sale of solar plants, which are currently under construction, the total figure will be very close to €300 million. So this is what we are roughly delivering in construction plans now for the year, around €300 million per semester. EBITDA grew 43% thanks to asset rotation, right? Our IPP EBITDA remains growing, but still in the ramp-up phase. I think Daniel will give you more details. In Peru, we got $150 million of US dollar of proceeds with EV/IC ratio of 1.3, right? No rotations I mentioned in Q2, but some expected before the end of the year. Net income was €0.5 million in the first half versus €4 million in first half 2023. Lower figure, right? I don't think it's meaningful, but anyway, mainly explained by FX differences between the periods. Daniel will give you more information on this in the financial review. Our CapEx, €186 million, in line with last year. And good news, the fact that we are experiencing a very steep CapEx deflation in modules and batteries. Net debt reached €736 million, implying a ratio of 6.6 times and 2.9 times in corporate rating. This will improve, especially in Q4 with ongoing negotiations regarding asset rotation, right? Some highlights on M&A. I think one of the main topics of this result is the acquisition of Repsol and Ibereolica, 1 gigawatt solar, with the aim of hybridization in the north of Chile for a total number of $128 million. I will elaborate more on the rationale of this important deal for us. Basically, with this acquisition, together with the redesign from 5 to 6 hours in most of the phases of Oasis of Atacama, we are updating the figures from what we announced in our Capital Markets Day in November, from 1 gigawatt solar and 4.1 gigawatt hours to we are doubling the size of PV to 2 gigawatts, and we are nearly increasing three times the potential of BESS to 11 gigawatt hours, right? We will look at this more in detail. Regarding M&A for the rest of the year, we can confirm there's a strong appetite from investors about many of our assets currently in operation and under construction. Going to business highlights, well, I will review our solar platform, which is now reaching nearly 16 gigawatts. This is an increase of 0.3 gigawatts quarter on quarter. And very strong increase in the hybrid BESS platform, mainly, but not only, coming from the acquisition we made in Oasis of Atacama. The update of Oasis is, I think, everything's well on track. We'll give you more information. Phase one, the factory acceptance test for the first phase have been concluded, and the batteries have been shipped, and we're expecting them to reach the site in early October, a few weeks from now. We will elaborate more on a slide on this, right? Concerning finance, very important milestones. We closed the project finance for phases one and two of Oasis Atacama for a total number of 345, a total figure of 345 million US. This is a record for us. We have also pre-hedged the phase three. We are expecting to close this definitely before the end of October with the same syndicate of banks. And also, regarding other fronts, we also closed an important financing for Valkyria for 175 million euros for the plans that we will rotate in mid-2025 to Allianz. So for a total figure of 175 million euros. And we have also renewed 150 million euros of green commercial paper. Going to next slide to our pipeline. Let's look at the pipeline. Again, total platform of 15.9 gigawatt of solar. Close to 22 of gigawatt hours of BESS. That's a massive upgrade on storage stabilization, mostly in Chile, and but also in Europe, right? BESS is really happening now everywhere. We are very lucky to be in Chile, where things are happening first, but we are planning to replicate this everywhere else. Having said that, a very well-balanced portfolio in solar with, you know, three main geographies. If we look at the next slide, we will see that we have a very balanced picture on the left-hand side of the slide between the US, Europe, and Latin America. We nearly have very similar figures. But if we look at how projects keep advancing, look at the figure of advanced development projects, we are very close to reach 3 gigawatts. That's a very important change from the figure in the last update. And if you look at the early stage, we have 5 gigawatts and additional opportunities, another 5 gigawatts. So the pipeline is maturing. Chile is very important for us and Latin America in general. But look at what is coming up, especially markets from the like the US and all other new markets in Europe. And this will give us visibility on our revenues in 2026 and 2027. In hybridization, we have a very high percentage now of hybrid plants with BESS in Chile. But also we are advancing in some other markets, and we will see some sharp increases in the next few quarters coming from the US and Europe, where I'm talking about hybridization, right? The following slides, we are going to show you the update in detail of the business case of Oasis of Atacama. We start first with a look at how Oasis of Atacama was until now, until the announcement we made today. And we can see that there's been a redesign due to the sharp reduction in CapEx. We have reduced, we have increased from 5 hours to 6 hours, as BESS CapEx is significantly below the guidance. And we believe this will increase project's profitability as we are moving more solar hours from day to night. So you can see that phase one, two, and three, we have increased the megawatt hours associated to those phases, to those projects. And We will remain with 5 hours in phase four. This project has different PPA, and we believe it's better not to change. And phase five is closer to ready to build, and we believe we will also shift to 6 hours. So all in all, the first phases, the of Oasis will be now will now account to close to 5 gigawatt hours of BESS, right? And moving to the next slide. Well, obviously the headline is the acquisition of Turresol and Ibereólica of 1 gigawatt solar portfolio with, but it's very important to explain you what we are really buying and why, and what is the rationale behind. We've known this project for a very long time. It's we believe the largest PV development in the north of Chile. It's fully developed for the first phase. It has an interconnection line, high voltage line of 1 gigawatt, and that's something. This is really something. It took the previous developer many years to develop this, and the line is fully energized. And it's in the best, has the best radiation in Atacama. It's next door to our project of Quillagua, so we know that very well. It's very close to 3,000 hours of radiation, so that's something very unique. It's connected to the most strategic line in the country, Quimal. This is where the new high voltage, the HVDC line will depart, will start less than five years from now. So we are connecting this project straight to the substation where the main line connecting Atacama to the south of to central Chile starts, right? There are no concerns with communities or environment in this area, and it's a perfect flat land. So it's an area we know very well, and this was the best development in the area. The project has 77 megawatt peak of solar PV in operation, right? And 923 megawatt peak in different phases of development. But apart from the size of what we're really buying, it's also time, and reduce, we are reducing the uncertainties. This is a massive acceleration plan. Again, high voltage line of 1 gigawatt already energized in the best possible location in Chile, with the potential to allocate, to incorporate 6 hours of BESS. So we are talking about 6 gigawatt hours. This is potentially more than 2 terawatt hours of energy a night, and close to 3 terawatt hours, all in all, including the solar hours. And with the first new phase fully commissioned before 2 years from now. This project, together with the continued downward trend in BESS, CapEx, giving us the opportunity to connect 6 gigawatt hours additional. So I think Daniel will also explain how we are considering to finance this and how we are not planning to change our CapEx plans for the next 3 years. Moving to next slide, we show how the new how Oasis Atacama looks like with the new faces. We are moving to the initial 1 gigawatt of solar and 4.1 gigawatt hours, which we explained, outlined in the Capital Markets Day. We are now moving to 2 gigawatt of solar and very close to 11 gigawatt hours of BESS. At the bottom of the slide, we show the well, how you know the two new phases, Elena and Antofagasta. And you will see that phase six, right? It's we are able to connect, and even before phase five of the existing of the previous Oasis Atacama. So I think this is good news. Again, it's a massive increase, but it's also we are buying time to market with this deal. Moving to next slide, and while we are updating this slide, I think it's very interesting every quarter to explain to you in detail how we are executing with Oasis of Atacama since we outlined this deal in the Capital Markets Day back in November last year. Since then, during 2024, we have announced in January a strategic agreement with the BYD for the supply of phases one and two. We have enlarged this agreement, and we just very recently announced a new agreement with BYD to support the supply of batteries for phase three. In January, we announced the hybrid PPA for phase four with an investment-grade utility. We are now in the process in advanced negotiations for phase five. And we, as you know, we will we, the deal we announced today, we have been several months negotiating this deal with the sellers, but at the same time, we have launched negotiations to close the PPA for phase six at least. And we also working on several options for phase seven. And well, we will give you some information. We have visibility. If you look at this summer, very important milestone, we closed the PPA. Sorry, we closed the project finance for phases one and two with a syndicate of five banks. We are replicating now with the same banks for phase three and phase four. We will, I think, before the end of October, we will announce the project finance for phase three and before the end of the year for phase four. So everything on track there. And regarding the shipment of batteries, already is on the sea the batteries we need for phase one, which will be on site before I think in early October. I'm glad to give you more details in the Q&A. Okay, and a final slide just from my side where we show all the numbers of Oasis of Atacama, which I think are pretty very very impressive. I went through most of them already. And it's worth highlighting the diversified sources of revenues. We have generation output, both solar and BESS, mostly contracted, but I think we also have some upsides of the energy which is not contracted, but it's merchant. And well, a very interesting price spread between day and night. We have capacity payments, so and we are very glad to elaborate more during Q&A. So thank you very much, and I give the floor to Daniel.
Thank you, David. So moving on to the financial review, which starts on slide number 11. Total capacity increased to 950 megawatts with gross additions during the year of 463 megawatts. That's include Matarani solar PV asset built by us and sold in Peru, Gran Teno and Tamango in Chile, and Elena, thanks to the M&A transaction. Regarding production, we experienced a 4% decrease in total output. This decline was primarily due to the disposal of our Peruvian wind asset, Dunahuambos. However, at constant perimeter, we grew by 1%. Load factor also was affected by the disposal of Peruvian assets. Contracted volumes increased by 10% and represented 73% of our total electricity production. Realized prices saw a 2% increase thanks to the positive trend of PPAs, mainly pushed up by contracted asset in Chile. On the other hand, merchant prices declined mainly to the pool price situation H1 in Spain and the no contribution from Dunahuambos. Additionally, on the right side, you'll find a summary of the main financial KPIs that we will look into later. So moving to slide 12, you'll notice that in the first half of 2024, total revenue reached 192 million. Revenues declined by 15% year on year, but it would have increased by 30% if we had considered inventories as income from capitalized works. Okay, so when we are registering the capitalization of asset that we are building for third parties, we are not including as a revenue, but as inventories. So that's the reason of the differentiation. EBITDA rose to 31 million, 43% increase, mainly by development and construction division, the asset rotation of Duna Huambos and Matarani solar PV project, generated nearly 70 million in revenue. And in energy division, despite the disposal of the mentioned asset, the revenue of the energy division remained relatively stable, -3%, as higher realized price helped to offset the impact of lower output. However, the impact from this disposal on EBITDA was higher, -10% in the first semester 2024 compared with previous year. Finally, retail supply business in Chile achieved positive EBITDA 0.5 million in H1 2024 compared with -1.7 million in first semester 2023. And we anticipate that this trend will continue. Turning our attention to slide 13, we observe that total CapEx reached 186 million, similar figures to the previous year, 187 million. It is important also to mention that this figure includes 102 million of inventories, as explained before, of those related to the pre-agreed sale of solar plant that are under construction, such as Matarani, Tabernas, and José Cabrera in Spain. A significant portion of the CapEx was allocated to solar PV asset. 60% of this investment occurred in Spain, remaining 40% in LATAM. An additional 24.7 million was dedicated to development initiative. On the right-hand side, we show a reduction in CapEx per megawatt in solar PV and per megawatt hour in BESS, attributed to the expansion of global industrial capacity, both in solar and storage, increased production level of necessary materials like polysilicon for solar and lithium, and other materials for storage. In case of BESS, lower demand coming from electric vehicle that is being allocated to our industry. Panels are now priced at just 9 cents per dollar, and the current CapEx, excluding the interconnection line, stand at 0.39 million per megawatt. BESS CapEx per megawatt hour is estimated in $0.12 million versus the amount of 0.2 that we forecasted in Capital Markets Day, or our previous estimation for this year of 0.18 million for 2024. Moving on to slide 14. Which provides insight into the cash flow for the period. Cash position in H1 2024 amounted to very similar figure from full year 2023 of 125 million. CapEx has primarily been self-funded through asset rotation and project financing. Notably, net proceeds from asset rotation in Peru positively impacted our treasury balance, contributing with 116 million. And, you know, we executed a share buyback program totaling 36 million euros, equivalent to 4.3% of the company shares. It has been executed several weeks ago. And from those 36 million euros, 20 million was in the first half 2024. Now on slide 14, Our net debt increased to $736 million, primarily due to CapEx investment. Our total leverage ratio increased to 6.6 times in June 2024, compared with 5.6 in December. Regarding our covenant leverage, it stood at 2.8 times in June 2024, very similar level to December, thanks to the disposal of Peruvian asset, as both projects were free from non-recourse debt, and the closing of the financing for Tabernas and José Cabrera, which implied a shifting corporate debt into non-recourse debt for the CapEx already incurred. As announced during our Capital Markets Day held in November, our investment plan for 2023 to 2026 will be self-funded. We are achieving this through asset rotation strategy, which is already 55% completed. If we move to next slide, it's important to mention that the current acquisition is not affecting the total investment plan. We are keeping it at 2.6 billion. As David explained before, we are adding 1 gigawatt of solar PV and 6 gigawatt hour of BESS with the acquisition. As well, we are increasing organically the number of hours allocated to the first hour phases, shifting more energy from cheap solar hours to more expensive hours at night. The main moving parts that explain the same CapEx for 2023-2026 are the following. 0.4 billion of CapEx reduction due to lower BESS and solar CapEx. Previously, remember, we were considering $600,000 for solar, including the line to the substation, and $200,000 per megawatt hour for storage that we have just updated to much lower figures. We are pushing forward some standalone solar PV plants, mainly in LATAM, and some in Europe and US, as we are allocating those resources to by far more profitable hybrid solar plus BESS project. There has been an increase of 0.1 billion related to the redesign of Oasis of Atacama, extending the hours from 5 to 6 hours. And finally, there is a new 1.2 billion related to the new phases of Oasis of Atacama. As we expect Antofagasta, the final phase COD in 2027, there is 0.35 billion that we have deploying in 2027. With all this, we are maintaining the same CapEx, but we are increasing significantly the capacity, IRRs, the EBITDA, and in general, the value of the project of Oasis of Atacama. And finally, on the next slide, number 17, we are showing the same self-funded investment business plan, mainly thanks to the project financing that we are showing. Banks are now closing hybrid projects financing. We have proved it with phase one and two, and there will be more phases coming soon, and asset rotation that already 55% of it completed, and we are still in 2024, 2 years still to complete it, but hopefully achieving that before. The figure that changed versus the announced one in the Capital Markets Day are PV CapEx reducing a little bit from 1.5 to 1.45 billion. CapEx in storage, we are increasing it to 0.95 billion from 0.8. and we are increasing a little bit dividend received as the project we are connecting will produce more dividends. To sum up and to finish my presentation, we could say that we are allocating resources to more profitable projects. We are investing the same, but we are getting much more back. Thank you, and now let's move on to the Q&A session.
Okay, thank you, Nadia. Daniel, if you have any question, please send a message only to the administrator using the chat available in the tool. I mean, just let us know you want to ask a question. You don't have to write it down, okay? Let's wait 1 minute until we receive all the questions. Okay, I think we can start. We have five questions. So, okay, first one, please, from Flora Trindade from CaixaBank. Please go ahead, Flora.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes,
Hi,
hi.
Flora.
Sorry. Sorry. Hi. First of all, congratulations for the deal, clearly expanding your coverage there. I was just wondering if you can share with us the returns that you expect with this expansion. So for the new Oasis Atacama Enlarged project, what is the IRR that you are seeing that I imagine is higher than you have in the previous perimeter? And also, if we can share what is the expectation of prices more in the longer term, because in the beginning, you will have the PPAs and also take the advantage of this arbitrage between night and day. But I was wondering that if in the midterm, if competition starts to expand capacity as well, if you could see some pressure on price. If you can elaborate on that, it would be useful. Thank you very much.
Hi, thank you, Flora, for very interesting questions. Okay, I will start with the last one, right? On our expectations for prices in the long term. Well, I agree with you on we will see that in markets like Chile and California and maybe Australia with a very high penetration of BESS in 2 or 3 years from now, where prices at night will have a tendency to stabilize. We're also looking at an increase in the estimation of prices during the day. So prices, they will not get, you will not get like a flat base load. But it will definitely the duck curve as we know it today will be very different. We are already looking at that in places like California. Anyway, just keep in mind that with our PPAs, we are living an initial period full merchant, which could be like a year on average. Then the PPA will hedge most of our energy sales. We're talking about 75% on average. during the first during 15 years. So let's say we have visibility on the first 17 years, and we are estimating the IRR for 20-25 years. So we have a lot of visibility and stability, and I think it's the right way to do it. We also have the capacity payments fixed for the first 10 years. That might eventually change from year 11, but I think it's giving a lot of visibility on the projects. I agree. We are going to see a cannibalization in the long term. So I think the longer we hedge, in our opinion, the better. Why we are basically following the same policy we follow with PV. Going to the returns, well, if we in phases 1 to 4, we have an outline, a project IRR between 11 and 14. I think we are very close to the later, right? To 14 or even slightly higher in some cases. About the new projects, we are expecting similar returns, right? We are in very advanced negotiations for PPAs. The prices will tend to deflate since the CapEx is going down, but we are now seeing that very steep deflation. So we believe we can maintain, if not increase, the IRRs. And this is why we believe this is a fantastic opportunity for the company because we can deliver energy as early as 2026.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question from Bank of America, Alexander Rozier. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thanks for the question. Just actually one follow-up on your comments, David, just now. When you say on Oasis 5 to 7 that you should see IRR equal to better, is that equal to better to the 11-14% IRR initially targeted for or Oasis de Atacama or the 14-ish plus that you're seeing today with lower capex? So that's the first one. Still on Atacama, I've noticed on the slide a little graphic update where the phase one COD was actually at the very end of December compared to mid-December, I think, in some previous slides. So is there some kind of a risk perhaps where you would see the phase one, COD perhaps slipping into 2025? Or is that, not an issue, at all? And then, maybe perhaps you mentioned, the pipeline, growing up in the US, moving some PV forward to focus on the hybrid. About the US themselves, any COD in mind for the 300 megawatts of solar you've got in advanced development, incrementally from the Q1? I think you've got also 200 megawatts of storage. I mean, I assume this is a build and own strategy for the US and a very exciting market as well. So any kind of update on progress, there, would be super helpful. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Alexander. And replying your questions, well, about the IRR, I think we are considering the returns for the new phases at least in the high range of the first five phases. They're of first four phases, sorry. There are obviously some inputs we still cannot control. So when we for the first phases, the capex is somehow hedged. The PPA, the energy price is also hedged. Even we have an interest rate swap. So, we can give a more accurate return information, right? For the next few phases, I believe there is a very high demand of energy at night. We have the right plans at the right time in the right place. So we believe the PPAs will not be very different from what we have achieved, even considering that the delivery of the energy will start a year and a year and a half later. So this is the plan. Going to Oasis of Atacama, the first phase. This is the first phase was an operational plan. I think we have just unplugged. This is not right now connected because we are now installing at full speed the BESS associated to this first 100 megawatts. Most of the civil works are concluded now. I think we published LinkedIn some pictures the other day. And we are now waiting for the batteries. The batteries have been shipped already, have been tested, and they will arrive in early October. It's really up to us in this plan. What I mean is whenever we feel that we are fully concluded, we can plug this, because there is no interconnection associated. Everything is done. We just unplug, we do the works, and we plug in again. So we expect that this will be operational. We will be able to sell energy from the end of December. Maybe the COD, I mean, the official COD will be slightly a few weeks later, right? And at the same time, we will try to accelerate the COD for phase two. I think the Q3 estimate we are giving there is slightly conservative. We will try to move that forward to phase four, to Q2. For us, it's very important, right? Because in a BESS project of this size, every month really makes a difference, right? I mean, we could be talking about $5-6 million in revenues, in summertime, even more. So it's really something. So we will try to accelerate, the more we can, the interconnection of all phases, right? Because there is a lot of, at stake. And talking about the US, I think, okay, we're talking a lot about the oasis of Atacama now. I think next year, this time, we will be talking a lot about the US. Is the next big thing for us. I would say the next big things for the company are, apart from Chile and the oasis of Atacama, on one side, the huge boom of BESS everywhere. And we will start talking up and giving visibility on standalone projects as well, but also the US, right? And if you look at the advanced projects in the US, I think this is in slide 2020, I'm showing. We have three projects, Beaver Creek, Shubuta, and Creed, where I think we will be announcing PPAs very, very soon. And we will give visibility. If you look at CODs, in some cases, we're talking about late 2028, mid-2029. Creed is definitely faster, right? And I think we'll give visibility on these pure PPAs. But it's a very exciting market at the moment, right? We are also waiting for the results on the elections on whether there is any minor change to the IRA. We are not expecting major changes, even if Trump wins. This is the idea. But anyway, we're going to be very, very busy with Oasis of Atacama and also with the M&A activity. But definitely from first quarter next year, we will have a very strong focus in the US. And it's a very exciting market, mainly due to the driver of data centers and the acceleration and this unprecedented source of demand.
Okay, please, next question
sorry,
from.
Sorry, oh,
yes.
if I may, just to mention an obvious thing that regarding returns, well, as David said, it has improved since November last year. If I think you have main KPIs to build that model, you can always contact our IR team. We can help you to calculate how has been that improvement.
Okay, next question from RBC. Please, Fernando, go ahead.
Thank you very much for the presentation and for taking my questions, no? So a little bit related to the returns, no? So maybe if you can update us, what is the evolution of spreads, daily spreads that you are seeing in Chile between day and night hours? And related to that, I mean, you were putting a guidance of an EBITDA of running rate, if I don't remember wrong, of around €300 million for EBITDA in 2026, taking into account that you are doing now much more for the same. I don't know if you will like to update that guidance. And then the second question is on asset sales, no? I think that there are I guess two main options that will be Ayora from Valkyria, or maybe one of the faces of Atacama, no? So they are what can we expect in the next months of 2024 and 2025 in terms of asset sales to finance all this plan, no? Thank you.
Okay, hi, Fernando. Thank you very much for your questions. I hope you're fine. Okay, I was looking at the last report we get, the daily report we get of prices, right? That's the internal report we get every week in every market where we are. If we look at the case of Chile, during this year so far in Atacama, on average, the solar prices have been 11.76, so nearly 12. So that's very, very low prices, and that's not including considering the curtailment we face. And the net prices are 98. Okay. And in central Chile, we're talking about 19.33, nearly 20 during the day on average, and 93.72 at night. So that gives you an idea of the current spread that we have in Chile. We always explain why is this happening in Chile now. Well, because these very high prices, they are here at night until we don't see a lot of BESS getting into the system. Thermal plants are setting the price and they need to be turned on. And that's systemic now. And that's, if you put together to the high radiation, so it's perfect conditions for cycling the batteries, plus this spread, plus capacity payments. It's the perfect market now. And again, I say maybe together with California or Australia for the massive deployment of BESS. And this is getting accelerated with the reduction of CapEx, right? This is really the situation. So this is what helps us to offer hybrid premium PPAs and secure the off-takers hedge price for prices at night, right? That, as I mentioned before, to Flora, eventually will change, but it will take a while. And we're in a very good position to secure PPAs for 15 years, which is basically what we are doing. Regarding the EBITDA guidance, obviously I cannot give any guidance right now. I think we will update that maybe in November, right? Where we will give the strategic visibility on 2027, and we will update our guidance for 2026, and we will give a guidance for 2027. As Daniel mentioned, we are basically the whole idea about buying these projects in Chile is that we can remain with the same CapEx. Some of the targets for 2026 coming from the US and European markets will be moved to maybe first semester or 2027. Instead, we will have this new project with way higher returns. So obviously I think we are doing this for the good, and we will also have possibilities to accelerate the EBITDA coming from build and sell. I think it's good news as a whole for the company. This will have a reflection on our targets for 2026 and 2027. I think that's it, Fernando. I didn't write more questions, or maybe I'm not sure. I think there was a last question, but I maybe didn't write it down. Okay. Daniel.
We have several more analysts to ask. Just 7 minutes, so
Okay, but anyway, you know Fernando where we are, so very glad to elaborate more.
Okay, thank you. Next question from Barclays, please, Nashqui, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Congratulations for the great results. Perhaps three questions from me, if that's okay. So the first one is, with this new PV portfolio in Chile, especially for your phase six, phase seven of Oasis Atacama. Can you give us an update on your EBITDA run rate in the medium term? I guess you would have a higher EBITDA run rate, right? Can you give us an update on that? And the number two is very near-term asset sales. Are you guys expecting any sales to be announced for the rest of the year? Any guidance will be good. And the number three, net debt target, and just wonder with all the update yesterday, and do you have any view what sort of level of leverage do you want to achieve? Thank you.
Hi, Nelson. Thank you for your very interesting questions, right? Well, as I mentioned before to Fernando, I cannot give you a new guidance on EBITDA and not update that. But if you remember and you have most of the information from Oasis of Atacama, we had a run rate EBITDA expected of, I think, around $200 million. And this plan is this we are buying. It's 1,000 compared to 800, so it has more volume. Maybe the prices of PPAs will be slightly lower, but all in all, I think can give you an idea of the size of the new animal. And more importantly, we'll have the opportunity to rotate assets. I think in our strategic plan, we were considering a rotation in 2026 with this new project in hand. We have the opportunity to rotate faster some of the initial projects in Chile. We, as I mentioned, we are aware that we have a big concentration in Chile right now, and we will work very hard in the next 2 years to diversify our footprint in other markets, mainly the US, but also there are fantastic opportunities for BESS in Europe, right? So this will be the main drivers. And I think this new project is an opportunity for an acceleration of also of M&A coming mainly from Chile. We have also received some approaches for our portfolio in Colombia, and we're working on it. I think definitely something will happen before the end of this year. Yeah. I think for the net debt, I leave you. Yeah, the third question, Daniel. Maybe you will. Reply
Yes.
to me.
Okay, perfect. Nash, we are not providing guidance for net debt. We have a target for corporate covenant of 3.5 times. Right now we are in 2.9 times. Bear in mind that every time we are doing an M&A transaction, leverage moves down rapidly. Okay, so remember that in the time being, we have already achieved a minimum of 1.3 times EV invested capital for our asset. Depending on the one that you are considering and when exactly that is happening, that will move leverage down quickly. As it is not recurrent, unfortunately, we cannot predict exactly when we are going to close the deal. But as more M&A is coming in 2024 and 2025 as well onwards, you will see that moving down as soon as we can keep this M&A and EBITDA as well coming from our portfolio.
Okay, so please, if you don't mind, limit your to one question per analyst, okay? As we are running out of time, maybe we are going to extend 10 or 15 minutes more. So next question comes from Jorge Guimaraes from JB Capital. Please go ahead.
Please, one question. I think we are going to extend 10 more minutes the presentation, but one question, please.
Hi, good morning. So my question is related with the Chilean regulatory risk. Can you elaborate on what is at risk with the current regulation or revision of regulation? Is it PMGDs, capacity payments, or all of them, or neither of them? And what could be the timetables for the new regulation to be out? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the question. The announcement made at the end of July by the Chilean government, right, the new project of law affects only the, well, is trying to create a new tax on PMGDs, just on PMGDs. That's absolutely nothing to do with capacity payments. Chile is based on capacity payments. They've been there forever, and it's nothing to do with this. If they announce this project, we believe it's a negative project, even if it affects only the PMGDs, since, has never happened before in Chile. We believe that like many other reforms that this government has tried to do in the last 3 years, they have 1 year more in office. I don't think it will get through since they don't have a majority both in the Senate and in the Congress, right? And so far, this is the information we are getting. So we don't think it will eventually happen. If it happens, for any reason, the impact on indoor energy will be fairly limited, right? We currently have 140 megawatts of PV only, right? No BESS. This only affects 140 PMGDs that we now have. This has been financed by Natixis, fully financed. And the impact in our EBITDA of this transition tax that they're willing to implement will be between 2 and 6 million in revenues per year, right? But again, we don't believe this will finally happen. And if it happens, we'll have a very limited impact. I think we'll be reduced quite a lot.
Okay, next question from Berenberg, Henry Tarr. Please go ahead.
Hi there, and thanks for taking my question. It's mainly on the CapEx side. So we're seeing lower costs obviously coming through for storage and for solar. What are you able to, does that apply across the whole of Atacama, or have you already committed, I would guess, for the first phases of it to a particular CapEx? So I guess that's the first question. And then on the battery storage CapEx numbers, I guess this is just purely lower costs coming through from BYD. Is that right? And then I know I'm supposed to limit myself to one question, but just if there is time, if you could comment on the appetite for asset sales that you see today, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Henry. I tried to be very concise in the reply to the question. Okay, about the hedge, how we hedge our new CapEx, that's something. Well, the golden rule for us is that we don't hedge or we don't buy materials until we have secure a project or secure a PPA, right? Otherwise, I think we will be speculating, right? There is now a big temptation to say, okay, let's hedge the cost of the materials for the next phases of Oasis de Atacama. But eventually, we rather prefer to do that when the PPA is fully secure and we have no doubts that this project will get under construction, right? Right now, we have fully hedged phases 1, 2, 3 of Oasis de Atacama. We are very close of hedging phase 4, and I think we will reveal the name of the, well, we are working, as you know, with BYD for the first 3 phases. We might keep working with BYD, or we are also having conversations with other majors like CATL, which is a very good candidate, and other big names in the storage manufacturing, right? The industry is really active right now, as Daniel mentioned. Since the electric vehicle, it's lagging behind and it's not growing as quick as expected. A lot of activity and production capacity is moving to a stationary, right? To the type of projects of BESS we buy. And also this is a fantastic news because it's consolidating the industry. and it's creating new players, right? We have the two big names like BYD and Cattel, but there are other emerging names in the industry as well, right? About the appetite for our sales remains intact. I think it remains very, very strong, and we are receiving even unsolicited approaches for the projects we have. I would say mainly in Colombia. In Spain, we have Ayora, as you know. It's a good candidate for a build and sell deal. It was initially designed to be rotated in 2020, at the end of 2024. Maybe we will go for a deal at the end of 2025, COD deal, similar to the one we closed with Allianz. Remember, it's the same PPA with Amazon. We are now building the projects with a lower capex, so if the price remains similar, we might get a higher return, right? Also, another thing that we are seeing, and is that in general, the lower the interest rates, the lower the expectation of returns for buyers in our rotations, right? So I think lower interest rates definitely good news for our industry.
Okay, thank you. Next question from Odo. Anis, please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Ruben. So thank you for taking my question. I have only one. So it's regarding storage. Congrats for the expansion in Chile. And my question is about Europe. You mentioned that it should be some opportunity in Europe. Could you please specify in which country on a particular? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your question. BESS is booming everywhere. I mean, everywhere. It's really, we are looking at opportunities, in all the, I think the 11 countries in three regions where we are. Yeah, I think it's very important that we focus and we concentrate the efforts in the areas or the markets where we really believe the returns will be higher and will be easier to replicate, and we will, you know, but believe me, we are looking at where the next oasis of Atacamas are going to be, right? It could be standalone massive projects in Germany, or it could be some large similar hybrid premium PPAs in Texas. That's, you know, we're talking a lot with the hyperscalers that we believe they will be the largest buyers of energy coming from BESS, whether it's a standalone through mainly tolling agreement or whether will be hybrid plants through similar PPAs than once we are closing in Chile. So it's a very exciting moment, right? And data centers and AI is really hitting things up, right? But replying to your question, we are working very hard in every market that we are in Europe, right? And I think it will eventually, you know, it's happening now in the UK. It's the most mature market for BESS in Europe, right? But it's moving from ancillary services and frequent regulation and this type more to energy trading and tolling agreements for energy trading that's happening. Another things that we are witnessing in every market is that before we, in many markets, we're talking about 1 hour, 2 hour markets because we were approaching those markets, and now approaching energy trading, we're not talking about 4, 5, 6, even 8 hours, right? So longer duration storage, right? We're very active in Germany, Poland, even in Spain, even if some of the inputs are missing, we believe it's going to happen, right? And you're now looking at some M&A activity, Italy. You know, things are getting tough for PV, but remains, I think, very, very bright for storage. So this, you know, the main markets where we are the main markets that we know well, and we will try to give more visibility on every market in every quarter.
Okay, thank you. Please, next question from Kempen, Paul Chabran.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. A bit of a conceptual question, but back in 2020, 2021, many developers, I think, were presenting big capacity targets, which turned out to be unachievable and which caused the work confidence in space. What would you say to someone saying that right now you are getting maybe a little bit too bullish on storage with this large capacity increase, because you know, doubling the potential capacity of the project?
Sorry, if you get me, I cannot really hear very well. Paul, sorry about that. Ruben,
me neither.
Okay.
I think I can. Paul, can you repeat the weird?
Apologies for that.
Paul, if you could.
Presenting a big capacity target which turned out to be unachievable and which caused lower confidence in space. So what would you say to someone saying that basically you are maybe here making the same mistake to some extent and you are maybe a little bit too bullish with this large capacity target increase with Oasis Takama, considering that for most of the project you still have no financing, PPA or CapEx secured? Thank you.
Sorry, Paul, sorry about that. We missed the first minute of your, I catch up when you were saying something about unachievable targets or something, but I'm not sure which market you're talking about.
I think David, he's asking if we're going to be able to reach the timeline we are explaining regarding Oasis of Atacama.
I'm not sure yet. We're obviously confident we can meet the and I think we're proving, we have been very transparent, we're giving a lot of visibility. I think first obviously we need to go step by step. Now we have Kigawa, the first two phases, right? Which the first phase will be again operational at the end of the year. I think there is a slide here, right? The first phase three, we have already started construction, right? We have secured all the materials in a matter of months. You know, will be an ongoing, and phase four as well. And phase five is like 1 year behind. About the new projects, obviously the key things are closing the PPAs, you know, and I think, I don't know if it was the sooner we secure the PPAs in the long term, I think the better, so we can secure this pipeline as it is, right? Again, we believe it's a high concentration in one particular place, but we have already done that in Spain before. We have been able to rotate some of the projects, and I think we will follow the same strategy in Chile eventually.
Okay, thank you very much. And last question from Mediobanca, Alessandro Ibitu. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning all. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to know if you can provide the split of the 128 million that you paid for the assets in Chile for the portion under operation, the portion ready to build, and the portion under development. So the split between the three areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. I think there is no, the question is simple. There is no split. We have to consider everything as a whole, right? It's, again, what we are buying is an operational plan of 77 megawatts, but I don't think this is the lion's share of the deal. The lion's share of the deal, and the most important thing, is that we have an operational project of one with an interconnection line of 1 gigawatt, right? And this is already built, energized, and operational. So it's something similar, more similar to what we had in Kigawa, right? It's an existing plan that we can easily expand, and the first 500 are ready to build, and we can connect with very little uncertainties, right? It's got nothing to do with a new project where you need to build a new interconnection line, new substations, and I think it's the key thing about this project. It's in the perfect location, the best location in Chile, but it's very easily adjustable to the new animal we want to create of PV BESS, right? Daniel, if maybe you wanted add something.
I was going to just mention that.
Okay, so we have finished. So thank you very much for attending this conference call. If you have further questions, please contact to the investor relations team. Okay? So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Bye.